Anybody who knows me knows I'm an old newspaper man, an old style who worked with hot metal back in the day. And at election time, you really get wonderful reading in the newspapers. For instance, this from David Davenport in the Irish Examiner, an old colleague of mine. He says that Fianna Fáil wants to be the boring party when it comes to the economy, and it made an excellent start yesterday with their news conference. Alison O'Connor in the Examiner says Fine Gael are telling us what they will do in the future, and Fianna Fáil want us to forget what they did in the past. Which way to look, she asks. And Mark Paul in the business section of the Irish Times says that the last time Ireland had an election on the back of a long economic expansion was 2007. That was the year Páraí Carrington won his first Open Championship. Apple launched its first iPhone, and God Save the Queen was first played at Croke Park. It was also the year that Ireland's economic chickens came home to roost and laid a feast of rotten eggs. So if you haven't been in the habit of buying a newspaper of late, I think now is the time to resume the habit. We are going to talk housing now. With me in studio are the Minister, Owen Murphy. Also here is Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil spokesperson. And also here is Richard Boyd Barrett. And we are awaiting the arrival of Owen O'Brien of Sinn Féin. Minister, you are launching your housing policy today. Now, I know you don't want to give us all its details, but what hope are you going to give people that you're going to raise your game on housing?
Well, we're going to be talking about housing every day of this campaign because we know it's affecting people up and down the country. And we're going to be talking about the improvements that have happened in relation to housing more generally. So, for example, we have more than doubled the number of new homes being built since we launched our plan just 3 years ago, and we're going to double it again. We're going to talk about social housing and how important it is that we as a government have taken back the responsibility for social housing away from the private sector and put it back in the local authorities. And as a result of that, last year we'll have added 10,000 new homes to the social housing stock. And that's how we tackle people who are in housing insecurity. It's also how we help people who are in homelessness and in emergency accommodation and all the work that we have to do there. And also we're going to be talking about how we help people buy their first home, because we know affordability is a problem, and we know it can only be solved if the government steps in to support young people to get out of the rent trap and get into their own home.
See, no matter what you promise, Minister, people will recall that when you brought forward Rebuilding Ireland, you promised that nobody would be in emergency accommodation by July 2017. They're there still in their thousands. Why should we believe anything you say now?
You know, we've seen something happen in the economy over the last number of years where not only were we not building enough homes to meet demand, we also had people returning to take up jobs because the economy was going so strong. And that's compounded our problem. So we've had to play catch up, but we are catching up. So if you look over the last 3 years since we launched our plans, the number of new homes that we have built, that have been built in the economy, went from less than 10,000 in 2016 to now more than 20,000 last year. That's not enough. Not yet. We need to build more, but we know that our plans work.
Of course it's not enough. That's the party line. But I mean, are you going to go beyond the ambitions such as they were of Rebuilding Ireland? I mean, what extra are you going to be
telling us? We've already planned beyond Rebuilding Ireland because as a government, we think it's been very important, notwithstanding the challenges that we faced by Brexit. But in facing those challenges, we've recognised that long-term planning is the only way that we can secure a future for everyone.
Leo Varadkar last Sunday on This Week talked about 40,000 houses a year.
Exactly. So if you look at what we've just done in Rebuilding Ireland, what we're still doing, we have already doubled the number of new homes being built. And we've still 2 years left to run in Rebuilding Ireland. And what Leo Varadkar wants to do in the next government is double it again. So we have already budgeted for example, for social housing beyond 2021, all the way to 2027 in terms of social housing delivery and making sure that every year, no matter what's happening in the economy, between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 of every new home built is built for social housing. No other government's ever done
that. So what's the total housing output going to be then, say in 2022?
Well, what we hope to get to by around 2022 is to be between 35 and 40,000 new homes being built. That depends on a lot of things happening between now and then. But because of the things that we have already done to rebuild the housing sector, things are getting going very, very quickly. And that 20,000 new homes that were built last year is going to increase again this year.
Dara O'Brien, it takes time, obviously. You can't magic up houses. So 35 to 40,000 houses by 2022, they're getting there.
Well, I think, look, people are looking at the government's actual record on housing over the last number of years, and even in Rebuilding Ireland, the targets that they haven't met most of their targets, and that's just the fact of it. We'll be launching an ambitious, realistic and deliverable housing plan next week that's fully costed, that will put an extra €2 billion into housing and put home ownership right at the centre of part of the solution to our housing crisis. There are thousands of people out there stuck in a rip-off rental market that despair that they will never get the opportunity to own their own home. So we will implement an affordable purchase scheme. We will deliver more social housing on state-owned land, and we need to end and the scourge of homelessness. And I think that has been the record of this government. When you look at our homeless figures, the highest ever. When you look at the highest rents we have ever and the lowest home ownership rate in over 50 years.
Can you give us some numbers? What do you believe is possible?
What I believe is possible is that we should be delivering on or about 30 to 35,000 homes per annum. We'll launch our plan next Tuesday, and the detail will be in that. What I'm saying to you is the additional...
Is this another dance of the seven veils by Fianna Fáil?
3 years now we're waiting for Fianna Fáil's housing plans.
And
we're now in the campaign and you haven't produced them yet.
I'm not going to get into a tit for tat with Owen Murphy or auction politics on it. I think people know Owen Murphy and his record in housing. What I'm saying to you is we have a very detailed housing plan that will be fully costed, that is fully costed.
No, but you said you think you can have 30 to 35,000 houses a year.
Yes.
I'm asking you, by when?
We've got to ratchet up this year. We'll just about hit 20,000. So what we need to do, how do we do that?
He says 25 this year.
How do we actually do that? I'll tell you how we do that. We need to empower local authorities to build themselves. We actually brought forward that solution. We negotiated twice with this government to raise what's called the discretionary cap to allow local authorities to empower them to build. And twice the Fine Gael government reneged on that. We would give the power to local authorities to build on state-owned land. We've enough land to build about 114,000 homes, service land, and we should be focusing on that. There are other measures that we would bring forward to reduce the impact of cuckoo funds, which are these large investor funds that are buying up whole chunks of cities across this country. Can I give you one example, and a real-life example? In my own constituency, we've had couples there who've saved and hard to actually for deposits, to put deposits down on houses, and then whole estates are being purchased by private pension funds. What hope does that give them? And the state, by the way, the Fine Gael government, has been the largest cuckoo fund out there by buying over 3,000 homes in 2018. So we need to build more. We need to add to the stock.
Are you saying the state shouldn't be buying those houses?
No, the state should be building those homes and should concentrate on building homes and not just purchasing turnkey. I believe in that, and I believe in building required public homes on public land, and we should prioritise that and let local authorities do it. Give them the power to do it. Don't have it caught up in the red tape that
Owen
Murphy has.
I'll come back to that in a few minutes with the Minister. Richard Boyd Barrett, what do you think is possible by way of the state providing extra housing?
Well, what we think could be done and needs to be done urgently is to build a minimum, the state itself, to step in where the private market has just not delivered housing on the scale we need or at the price and affordability that is required for ordinary people. So as a minimum, the state needs to be providing about 20,000 public and affordable houses a year for at least 5 years and indeed probably beyond that. And that is a dramatic shift from the current policy. And the policy that's been pursued by Fine Gael since 2011, which was, first of all, to have vast amounts of property in its hands in the form of NAMA and to flog off all that property, right? We wouldn't have a housing crisis if the government hadn't pursued the disastrous policy of NAMA flogging off 40 billion worth of property assets, including many apartment blocks and so on, that now are in the hands of vulture funds who are charging extortionate rents, over €2,000 a month on average in my area, and in some cases then leasing them back to the state from which they bought them, right, at extortionate cost. It's unbelievable. And this isn't just about time. The policy that Owen Murphy and Fine Gael ministers and indeed Labour ministers before pursued was to overwhelmingly depend on the private landlord sector to deliver social housing. That has been a disastrous failure, and it's affected not just people on housing lists but also people looking to rent in the private market, and it has also driven up house prices more generally.
What is Sinn Féin's way or route to getting supply to match demand, and how long will it take?
So there are two. The first is the area of public supply, and we'll be launching on Monday a very, very detailed set of proposals in terms of social and affordable housing. But I can give you kind of a rough shape of it now, which is we've been consistently arguing for a doubling of output above the real social housing targets of the government in terms of units owned by local authorities and approved housing bodies.
And the government this year is building about 7,000 housing units. I heard the Minister's colleague, Damien English, say the other evening.
Last year, between local authorities and approved housing bodies, it was in the region of just over 6,000. This year, between local authorities and approved housing bodies, it'll be just over 7,000. That's units built and bought by those two agencies.
And you say it should be double that.
We need... And not just in terms of social housing, but if we're going to see genuine affordability for first-time buyers and genuine affordability for renters, public housing needs to start to include a broader range of housing types. That includes houses for sale in Dublin below €250,000 and apartments to rent for less than €900. But we also need to look at the private supply. And part of the concern many of us have is there are very large, very profitable builders with active planning permissions and with very significant land banks and cash flows, but they're not supplying the market at an adequate rate. And I think while immediately after the crash, there was a certain logic in assisting those large developers, we now need to start getting tough with some of them. So, for example, allowing two extensions of planning permissions, having a vacant site tax that is not punitive and lower than the level of land price inflation isn't the right way to go. I'm not talking about punishing small, struggling builders. They need more help, for example, through targeting Home Building Finance Ireland to deliver genuinely affordable homes. But the big players are not building enough. So we need increased investment in public homes to meet social and affordable need. But we also need to sit down and say, how do we push the private sector to deliver more? Because what the minister has been doing to date is falling short on the Rebuilding Ireland targets of overall 25,000 units a year by 30%. It's an absolute failure.
Well, we're not falling short on our targets in Rebuilding Ireland. And I outlined the figures earlier on, but Eoin O'Brien makes an important point there about more than 7,000 new homes being provided for social housing this year, because that's more than has been provided in any of the last 20 years in terms of building social housing homes. That's our commitment as a government to social housing.
But the point he makes on
land, I think, is very important.
Yeah, and on the question of land and state-owned land, I mean, it must be at least 2 years ago since the late John Bailey, Fine Gael councillor in Dún Laoghaire, sat in the studio talking about a plan that they were submitting to your department to build a huge number of social and affordable houses out in Shangana in that constituency. Yeah.
And not a single sod turned.
Just down the road on Enniskerry Road, we have our first cost rental project where apartments, two beds, will be there for rent for €1,200.
Promised in 2014 and won't be delivered till next year, Minister.
A number of sites,
In fairness to you, Minister, I know that you're anxious to see these projects coming ahead. I mean, what are the bureaucratic stumbling blocks to a project like that one in Shangana that your own party were urging you to run with, you know, 3 or 4 years ago?
We now have the Land Development Agency that's taking over Shangana to deliver social and affordable housing. We've never had a state developer. We didn't have it under any previous government.
But you have local authorities.
That's the problem.
For social housing. And local authorities now have the responsibility for affordable housing as well. But what the Land Development Agency is going to do is to take all the state land that we have that's not on local authority lands necessarily, lands that's owned by the HSC or by other departments, and bring forward social, affordable, and private.
Another layer of bureaucracy.
If we don't have a state developer like other countries, we're going to have another crash in the future when it comes to housing. Eoin O'Brien talked about the use of land. The vacant site levy that is now there has seen 50 sites that weren't previously being developed now under development. The vacant site levy is higher than the actual price of land inflation, so it is working.
Not in Dublin, it's not. We need to take turns here.
We just need to get to the reality of this. In Dún Laoghaire Rathdown, where that Shangana site is, and by the way, where Cherrywood is, which was an AMA site and flogged off to developers, we will have new council houses built in 2022, right? That's less even than last year and the year before. So it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And the reason nothing is happening is precisely because of ridiculous plans on layers of bureaucracy like the LDA, which is actually a vehicle to privatise public land, as against what should be done is for the local authority to directly go in and build public and affordable housing, both, but to do it itself at the cheapest possible cost, instead of having to give a profit margin to some private developer and all the costs associated with that. And the reason the LDA isn't building on Shangana is because it can't figure out, when it's getting private finance over a limited period of time, how it can make the housing actually affordable. Whereas if the state built it itself, it would be affordable because it would be built at cost price on publicly owned land.
No, sorry, Richard. The Land Development Agency is something that has been recommended by all experts across the political spectrum that we need
that's
a state developer. Yes, it is. Because
it's not
we took
true.
It from things like the Kenny Report back in
no,
the 70s.
That's misleading.
All the way up to any state report.
To have a state developer
to bring forward state land for the use for housing for social, affordable and private housing in areas of high demand like Dundrum, where we have a hospital that's no longer going to be a hospital, and already the LDA is looking at that site, so we don't have to wait around when the people finally leave. We can get building immediately and get those new homes in an area that already has the Lewis.
Is it a source of frustration to you, Minister, that something like that John Bailey idea it just has still not come to fruition. Actually, not a sod turned.
I've been incredibly frustrated that things haven't moved more quickly, as I think a lot of people have. Things need to move more quickly. We all recognise that. But we have to recognise that over the last 3 years, we have increased the number of social housing homes. It's not enough. We want to do more. And the number of private housing has doubled under Rebuilding Ireland.
It's not enough since we've replaced a lot done and more to do.
It's obviously not enough. And your listeners will know. What listeners want to hear is solutions. They know where we're at right now. They know that Rebuilding Ireland hasn't worked and hasn't hit its targets. The Land Development Agency, but I think most people want a land management agency. Yeah. And I think we've all agreed that, myself and the Minister and Eoin O'Brien and Richard and housing committees, we understand that. What we don't want is an agency that just sells off state land. Now, what happened? The LDA was a big announcement that Minister Murphy made. And that seems to be a trend.
It was going to be as big a deal as the IDA in the 1950s, if I recall the Taoiseach's comment at the launch.
How long did it take the IDA to get established?
I didn't interrupt you.
Yes, you did.
I actually didn't, okay. If you listen back. Okay. I didn't. So I just want to maybe address this part of it. We've had four sessions in the Housing Committee looking at draft legislation for the Land Development Agency. And the more sessions we had on it, the more holes in that draft legislation there were. And major, major questions. So it isn't underpinned by legislation in the Dáil. The bill wasn't even published at second stage. And it was that big announcement by Fine Gael, as big as the IDA, capitalised to the tune of 1.5 billion. It's not capitalised. It hasn't passed any European test yet. But we do need a management agency to deliver affordable and social homes. But first and foremost, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let local authorities build public housing. Implement an affordable purchase scheme. I, 2 years ago, negotiated with this government an affordable purchase scheme. And the government either don't have the ability, Fine Gael, or the will to actually implement it. We in Fianna Fáil will implement that scheme so people can buy and own homes between 160 and 230,000, depending on where they are in the country. Home ownership is slipping away from a generation, and that needs to be arrested, and we need to tackle the waiting list for social housing of over 130,000 people.
It's incredibly po-faced from Fianna Fáil now. I'm sorry, Dara Bryan. You are the government that outsourced social housing to the private sector. Sure. We're the ones who brought it back and put it in local authority.
Don't focus on solutions. Dara Bryan is saying that it should be possible for local authorities to move much faster to get action on the ground that it takes because of having to refer things to the Custom House, the Minister's Department, and also the dead hand of DEEPER. It means that they're taking 18 months to actually get things moving. Do you agree with him on that?
I absolutely do, and we've made detailed proposals to the Department under Simon Coveney, which he ignored, on how to shorten that. But look, you can do this in two ways. You can take a piece of state land, whether it's Shangana, O'Devany Gardens, or Kilcarbery in my own constituency. You can allow the local authority to democratically master plan it, and then central government can fund the local authority to develop it with 30% social, 30% affordable rental, rents under €900 a month, and 30% affordable purchase below 250,000. That's what Sinn Féin argued, for example, with Kilcarbery and ultimately with O'Devany. The alternative is what the government has proposed, which is in Kilcarbery, my own constituency, instead of funding the local authority to develop it, a private developer is brought in. 70% of the houses there will be sold at open market value, and the current open market value in that area is at a minimum 340,000 plus. So if government's objective into the future, no matter which of our parties are in government, is to deliver far greater social, affordable rental and genuinely affordable purchase homes, you cannot go down that part of the Land Development Agency route, which is to bring in private developers. Yes, we use builders. We use private builders all the time. But we need a scale of ambition for public housing akin to what existed in the 50s and 60s. And unfortunately, since the 1990s, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have abandoned that. And that's why on Monday we'll be launching a plan to have the most ambitious public housing programme ever seen in the history of the state.
150,000 houses in 10 years.
Social, affordable rental and affordable purchase, and the detail we'll give
Minister,
you on
Monday. Just a text, and it's in line with what we've just been hearing. Born in 1960, grew up in a council estate, then it was sold on to us as a private residence. Could the government not go back to that model?
We're building social housing. That's what we're doing. And that's what we have to keep on doing. Back in 2014, I think we built somewhere between 400 and 600 social housing homes across the country. Last year, it was more than 6,000, but the total stock was 10,000. In Cork alone, county and city, 1,000 extra social housing homes last year. I've been on social housing sites up and down the country. And when I go there, councillors from every party are there to welcome it and to cut the tape with me because they're glad to see those social housing homes being built. Affordability is the key problem facing people up and down the country. And to tackle that, the solution solutions that we brought, because we're not talking about solutions here in detail, folks. Help to Buy has helped 15,000 households get a deposit together. The Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan has helped over 1,200 families get a mortgage together. And now we have a shared equity scheme with 300 million euro behind it that will deliver houses for less than 300,000 euro in Dublin and for less than 200,000 euro in Devon. Yes, no, Devon Gardens. But, you know, Paul made a bag for that.
Here he goes again. I'll actually be very brief on this. The Help to Buy scheme, actually, and interestingly, the government have increased the interest rate on that just very recently. We had to fight tooth and nail. Fianna Fáil fought to retain that because it's helping people. We actually did have to fight in the last budget to retain it because Deeper and the Department of Finance wanted to reduce the threshold on it. That's an absolute fact. At the end of the day, listeners will know that we're not delivering near enough housing, either public or affordable housing, right now. And they don't have the ambition. Fine Gael, firstly, don't have the ambition. I don't think they actually believe really in the state taking a lead and intervening properly. Because when Owen talks, nonsense. When Owen Murphy talks,
2.6 billion this year. 2.6 billion this year is more than you ever spent on housing when you were in government.
I think people will know.
That is complete nonsense.
See, Owen's form of defence is attack because he can't defend his
Fianna Fáil's only policy is to attack me. Only to attack me.
As we speak, there's residents in an apartment block in Dunleary who are facing their fourth attempt at an eviction by a vulture fund who bought property from NAMA, i.e. from the public, right? And they're being threatened to be put out on the streets. This is the reality of the policy. And then you look at O'Devany Gardens, right? Public land, the government's proposal is the fifth under their public-private mix or whatever, is the 50% of publicly owned land will be handed over to private developers to build housing that nobody can afford.
At 470,000 euros.
We believe that when we approach land, we should be building houses for social, affordable and private housing
talking
as well. We don't believe we should be segregating communities,
but
we believe in housing.
We will be talking about homelessness after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.
Hi, this is Paul Hackett from clickandgo.com. It's January, time to start planning your next holiday. Whether you want sun, city, cruise, USA, worldwide or camping, we've got the lot. At Click and Go, we handpick your accommodation, offer great customer service and all at an amazing price. We also offer the only genuine €1 holiday deposit. Go online or call one of our holiday experts. We're here for you 7 days a week and that personal service and advice is totally free. So what are you waiting for? Just clickandgo.com, an Irish company. Terms and conditions apply.
Grab a basket for amazing Aldi savers. Premium falafel and veggie bites was $2.29, now $1.99. Chopped tomatoes was 39 cent, now 35 cent. Superfood smoothie mix was $1.99, now $1.49. And place fillets were $3.49, now just $2.99. And Super 6 fruit and veg and fresh meat offers too. Forget the basket. Grab a trolley for savings after savings after savings. Aldi, every day amazing.
Discover the Hyundai electric and hybrid range for 2020 with a bigger choice of models designed for eco-motoring. Discover the Kona electric, the all-new Kona hybrid, the Tucson mild hybrid, or the all-new Ioniq electric, the latest innovation in our range of eco-models. Visit Hyundai.ie to discover our electric and hybrid range, alongside our more eco-friendly Euro 6, petrol and diesel models. Hyundai, the best of all worlds. Discover why.
It was very embarrassing to go and ask somebody else to put on paper what you wanted to do yourself. I was a mother of a daughter of 6 when I started getting into education because I wanted to give her more. I've done that through family learning. I've done it through the community that I'm in. I think education is the best nutrient that a person can have.
Do you struggle with reading, writing, maths or technology? Take the first step. Free phone, 1800 2020 65, supported by RTE.
Tweet at Today SOR.
With me in studio are four party spokespersons on housing. Minister for Housing Owen Murphy of Fine Gael, also here Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Owen O'Brien of Sinn Féin, and also Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit. As we know, homelessness has been a key feature in the opening days of this election campaign. On Wednesday, it emerged that a homeless man living in a tent alongside the Grand Canal in Dublin had been seriously injured in a clean-up operation. Both Waterways Ireland and Dublin City Council have launched investigations into that incident. The Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, suggested that the Lord Mayor of Dublin and Fianna Fáil election candidate in Dublin North West, Paul McAuliffe, should make a statement on the matter and was accused by opposition politicians of politicising a poor man's trauma. Let's remind ourselves about what Mr. Varadkar had to say.
My understanding is that the City Council and Waterways Ireland did check the tents before removing them, but obviously something went wrong here. So I think it's important that the City Council and the Lord Mayor, who's politically responsible to the City Council, should make a statement to Waterways Ireland too. But the most important thing is that we wish him a speedy recovery. He is known to homeless services, has been offered accommodation in the past, will be offered accommodation in the future.
Owen Murphy, how clumsy and insensitive was that on the part of your party leader in Taoiseach?
Well, just to say, first of all, Sean, I mean, this was a shocking incident and an accident that happened. I think the whole country's been very upset by it. And I know that all our thoughts are with the person who's in hospital and also with the people who were involved
but
in this.
But the Taoiseach's thoughts were on political point scoring.
No, the Taoiseach's first reaction, when I discussed it with him and when he was discussing it publicly, was one of sympathy for the person involved in this and this terrible event that happened. This terrible incident. And, from my understanding, what he was referring to is the fact that, yes, the Lord Mayor wanted an investigation done, and yes, Dublin City Council is conducting one. And
the Lord Mayor has political responsibility for it.
Well, I mean, I think as a housing minister, I'm responsible for what happens in relation to housing up and down the country, and local authorities have their responsibilities too. And people know that the responsibility for housing delivery, for example, is shared between my department and individual departments.
Yeah, we were looking for some sort of explanation or comment from both the Dublin City Council and Waterways Ireland, and what we got were two statements, the first of which came from Dublin Regional Homeless Executive, saying that an incident occurred involving a homeless man during a process where Waterways Ireland were removing tents that were placed in a precarious and dangerous location. And then Waterways Ireland came back saying the process is initiated by DRHE with the homeless person, and it's only when that negotiation is complete and arrangements made that Waterways Ireland is contacted to remove the temporary accommodation on the canal bank. I mean, if ever there was a case of blame and buck passing, yes, that surely was it.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. It's not the government policy to just remove tents like this, but the tents were in a very precarious position, and people might have seen some photos now to see where they were. Every person who was in one of those tents was approached and accommodation was offered because accommodation is available. And
Damien English said here in this studio two nights ago that you were expecting to get an initial report yesterday, did you?
I did. And with that initial report, there are a lot of details that go into the personal circumstances of the individual in question, so it's not suitable for publication at this point in time. But we're going to get to the bottom of this, and we're not going to have a blame game
on this. Leave the personal circumstances aside. That's perfectly understandable. His privacy has to be respected. But about the way the two state agencies went about this business and then effectively started blaming each other.
Well, so whenever this happens, when we're trying to help someone out of rough sleeping into emergency accommodation and into a home is really where they should be. And that's what Housing First is about, and we can talk about that a little later. When we do that with the care and the health and safety of the individual in mind. And two state agencies were working together, and an accident occurred. And we need to find out how that accident occurred and why. And I spoke with every city and county manager yesterday in a regular meeting that I have. And I emphasised the points of taking
Except in this
care.
Case, quite patently,
absolute
they
care.
Weren't working together because there was a man inside a tent.
Let's just not jump to conclusions until we actually have the investigation complete. We know something went wrong here. We know it shouldn't have happened. The people who are caught up in this themselves are distraught by it. Our thoughts are first and foremost with the person in hospital. We will get to the bottom of this, but every city and county manager has been told directly by me that this must not happen again. And they take every care when they're looking after people who need our help the most.
And this is the second very serious and tragic event affecting a homeless person this week. Obviously, there was the death of the young woman in emergency accommodation. I think let's take the electoral politics out of this, and let's say this has to be a turning point in terms of how we respond to rough sleeping. And there's a number of things that I think the minister needs to do and do as quickly as possible. The practice of Waterways Ireland issuing eviction notices to rough sleepers and tents on the canal has to end now.
Okay, Minister, just quickly on that point, should it and has it?
What we're trying to do is to get everyone into a home. That's Housing First.
The eviction notices by Waterways Ireland.
So what happened in that instance, though, those tents, they couldn't remain there. It wasn't safe for them. Their care was being put first and foremost before the accident happened.
There is a policy of Waterways Ireland in conjunction with Dublin City Council to issue eviction notices to people in tents. So first of all, that has to end. And the removal of tents and the use of heavy machinery to do that has to end. The second thing is, while it is the case that the individual in question was offered emergency accommodation, there are lots of reasons why people who are very, very vulnerable find it difficult, if not impossible, to take up that accommodation. And Peter McVerry is right when he spoke earlier in the week. We have to phase out the use of dormitories, particularly for people with complex needs or have other issues going on in their lives. That has to end, and that has to be an objective of the next government. And the third thing is, Housing First is where you take people out of rough sleeping and low threshold emergency accommodation. You give them their own home and have wraparound supports. The government had a target in its most recent report of 600 over 3 years. We need to double that. But crucially, I think what all of us and the public conversation around this shouldn't be about mayors and Taoiseachs. It should be about the people who are forced to sleep rough because of the failure of our housing system. And what are we going to do differently in the weeks, months and years ahead to make sure we reduce homelessness, we reduce rough sleeping, but nobody ever dies in emergency accommodation or is injured in the way this man was injured.
Or is afraid to go in there.
Well, absolutely. Well, I think just, or is afraid to go in there. In this very studio, we debated this earlier in the week with Damien English, and he seemed to believe that there's, you know, there shouldn't be any good reason as to why someone wouldn't go into emergency accommodation. Peter McVerry debunked that this week. We do need to end dormitory-style emergency accommodation. There are people, I chaired the North Dublin Regional Drugs and Alcohol Task Force. There are people, many who are homeless, who have chaotic lifestyles, who may have addiction issues, mental health issues, and don't feel safe in that accommodation. That's why people are sleeping in tents. And the response has been really, really, I think it's been really poor on this. This does need to be a turning point. And unfortunately, it's not just in Dublin City. Across our country and in our regional towns, we have people sleeping in tents. That has to stop. And I really think what sort of bothered me earlier in the week is that the Taoiseach seemed to use this nearly as an opportunity to take a pop. This should actually be an opportunity now that this man now who suffered life-changing injuries, this should be the very, very last time. And the idea that the Taoiseach would use it to have a pop at someone else or the Lord Mayor really was beneath his office. And we need to move on from that into refocusing all of us across parties and those of none to say, do you know what? The shame of homelessness in this country, which is what's supposed to be a wealthy country, has to end. And we all have to work together to end it.
The circumstances of what happened on the canal are just horrific and shameful. And without getting into all the details, because I don't know all the details, I do not understand why a digger was required to remove a tent, right? A small tent. That is beyond explanation. Now, beyond that, if I go to my office now after this, which I will, almost certainly in the next 2 or 3 days, as happens every single week, someone will come into my office who is homeless. And in 9 times out of 10, we will be told there's no emergency accommodation in the locality and that those people will have to go into hostels in town where there are active drug users, where there's real problems in terms of not being separated from people in dormitories. And people will say to me, as they do every week, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I'm afraid. Right? That's what happens, and it's going to happen next week, and it's going to happen the week after, unless the supports and the resources and the individual care for people in that situation is dramatically improved, and ultimately that we actually put people in secure, affordable homes.
Do you agree with Peter McVerry that they need to phase out these dormitory-style emergency accommodation settings?
Yeah, Father McVerry's right, I think, on two key points. And the McVerry Trust, whom we fund through taxpayer money and who we work with, one of our partner organisations, provide a lot of this accommodation, and they provide it to an excellent standard. We need to make sure that the standards in emergency accommodation are the very best. So we have a new standards framework that was agreed with the NGOs. They helped devise it, and it's been rolled out nationally at the moment, and it'll be everywhere within the next few months. That's the thing that we have to do. We also need to move to what supported temporary accommodation, which is 6 months accommodation for people, regardless of whatever type of lifestyle they might have and the difficulties that they're facing in their own lives. There'll always be some need for one night only, because sometimes some of the people who come into emergency accommodation, it is only for one night only because of something that might have just happened that's a very temporary thing in their lives. So there'll always be some need for it. We need to make sure that standards are more than acceptable. And in relation to Housing First, which Owen spoke about, we've introduced a national director for Housing First and a national policy. It's all across the country. In places like Waterford, they've reduced the rough sleeping problem to almost non-existent, which is great. And Housing First is about taking a person from the street into a house and then wrapping the care and support around.
And Housing First is a good initiative. It
and
just needs to be ramped up.
The reason how we're going to
dodged the question, though, that I put to you based on what Owen O'Brien said earlier about these eviction notices by Waterways Ireland. Should they stop?
Look, so the practice of Waterways Ireland...
It won't take long now to answer that question.
Yeah, but can I just say that the practice of Waterways Ireland in this instance, in relation to the people who were there and why the equipment was used that Richard asked, that will be clear when the investigation is finished. But it wasn't safe for the people there. And that was the primary motivation. For
it sure as hell wasn't safe. I mean, the man ended up in Vincent's hospital with life-changing.
Hold on. This is an accident that happened. And they were trying, and they had met with each individual who was sleeping there.
By the way, I mean,
try and help them out of...
Would you accept as well, Minister, and this is not to make a political point, that one of the defining images of this election campaign will be the pictures that were on the front of the Irish Examiner and other papers yesterday of that particular scene and the Garda coming along to do the investigation with your picture on a pole overlooking the whole thing, looking for votes. You as Housing Minister.
So, I mean, I think that is a political point, but I think, again, and, you know, I have volunteers who help put up my posters. They were postering late at night. The person who was doing it didn't notice what was happening because they were just focused on doing one thing. And the second that we saw it was there, I had someone take it down. And the person who put it up feels very bad about that. But, I mean, this isn't about Owen Murphy and posters in a campaign. This is about a problem that we have in this country about people sleeping rough that we can end using Housing First.
Just
other
go back
countries
to that
have.
Year, 2017, the target point, July 2017, where it was to be the case that no family or no homeless people would be put into these emergency accommodations. What's the new target?
So we have a very difficult situation where we don't currently have enough homes being built to match demand. And until we get to that point, we're going to continue to have people who are presenting themselves to emergency accommodation.
So there is no new target. No,
can I just finish this point? At the moment, for every family that presents itself to emergency accommodation, we prevent one from going in immediately. We find them a home.
Okay, it was 2017. Is there a new deadline?
If I could just finish this point, because, you know...
Please do.
Yeah. Since I've been Housing Minister, 11,000 people have exited homelessness, which is more than the number who are in emergency accommodation today. But we still have far more to go. We still have people in hotels, and we want to end that. Our focus is on building more homes. So if it was 10,000 last year, more this year for social housing.
No more hostages just to fortune, it's quite clear. Maybe the minister is right on. We've
less families and children in emergency accommodation today than we had a year ago because we're building more social housing homes.
Well, first of all, I think if you put together credible targets following consultation with local authorities and the voluntary sector, they work. The problem with the Simon Coveney target of the summer of 2017 was it was just plucked out of a hat. But I think repeatedly the NGO sector who do sterling work, academics and opposition, have been calling the government to do a number of things. We have to reduce the flow of families into homelessness in the first place. Now, some good work is done. I want to acknowledge that. But, for example, the ability of landlords who availed of Section 23 tax breaks to issue vacant possession notices to quit is still the single largest driver of families presenting as homelessness. That needs to stop as an emergency measure. The second thing is, it's not that not enough homes are being built. It's the government are not building enough homes, nowhere close to what's required. And Housing First, and Owen is absolutely right, it was Fianna Fáil who first put Housing First into a homeless policy document in 2008 and then never did anything about it. Housing First works for the homeless person and it works for society as a whole. And for the life of me, given that we have between 2,000 to 3,000 individuals who need this intervention, the government's target is only about 600 over 3 years. I welcome every single one of those, but it has to be dramatically increased no matter who is in government after this election.
Well, look, I think all of us agree Housing First is the right policy, but it's about ramping it up. And when Owen Murphy talks about, you know, the people who've come out of homelessness. Everyone that leaves homelessness, that's welcome, absolutely. The problem is we're not even treading water with this crisis. We're actually drowning with it. For everyone who goes in, there's another person coming into the sector. And, you know, it's not just rough sleeping. It's actually the people who are what's called couch surfing. It's three generations living in one home. It's overcrowding. I've met them all. And Richard Boyd Barrett rightly mentions earlier on, there isn't a politician here, certainly not at this table, that every single week, a couple of times a week, we're dealing with families who are about to put... So we need to end that, and it can be.
Richard Boyd Barrett, the idea of a rent freeze, would it work?
It would be a start. I personally think we need to go further. In lots of countries in Europe, local authorities set rents. They actually set them, okay? So they don't allow them to reach unaffordable levels. They go in and say, that's as much as you're allowed to charge for that property.
Would you favour that, Owen O'Brien?
A rent freeze on its own isn't going to solve the problem. But if you combine an emergency three-year rent freeze with a refundable tax credit, but that puts a month's rent back in every renter's pocket, with a major public investment in affordable rental accommodation, those three things combined will start to unlock this crisis.
Gareth O'Brien, a rent freeze?
The new investment that's coming into the market isn't the right type. It's too expensive. And that's because the minister's strategy is failing.
I think as own, O'Brien said, a rent freeze on its own would not solve the problem.
But as part of the solution?
Well, I think we've committed to looking at it, because we've committed to look. Well, no.
Renters don't have the time.
What does that mean? The minister says yes or no.
Well, I'll tell you actually what it means.
We all said
get off the fence.
We debated this in the Dáil.
We all said
We permitted the bill to go to committee. There are some unintended consequences. We've looked at what's happened in other cities across Europe, and we're certainly researching. What I want to do is to give people a chance to get out of renting too, to provide affordable purchase scheme, to provide affordable rental as well. In this city, right now, people paying higher rents in Dublin than they are in LA, for God's sake. Higher rent yields in the Liberties.
We don't know what Fianna Fáil is for when it comes to housing. That's the problem.
Well, we actually do.
Martin came out during the summer and said
they're for supporting Fine Gael and rebuilding Ireland is what I can say.
That's true. That is true.
Of course,
that's the first time it's been
rebuilding Ireland
that we've heard today about Fianna Fáil's policies.
Owen Murphy is minister. You think he was?
By the way, sorry, just one other thing. They've been called glorified or high-end bed sits, and their proposals.
These boutique hotels that Owen Murphy. Well,
you're going to ban those, are you?
We would. Co-living, we're opposed to.
How many were built last year?
Owen Murphy here, you'd swear he wasn't minister for the last 3 years, because all he does when he comes in here is he tries. No, but you see, it's about responsibility, and you were responsible for your stewardship of housing over the last 3 years. You've asked me a direct question on co-living. No, we would be opposed to co-living, and the move toward it now, this battery hen style living within the city and the suburbs, is a dangerous one. And I tell you why it's dangerous, because that will become the norm. What you want to provide for people is sustainable.
There's a shiny new co-living that Bart want to put up there right in the middle of your constituency, around the corner from your constituency office. We have been absolutely disgusted by
and protect, because we have been trying to target that site for affordable housing for years, and then it's sold off to a property speculator who mightn't even build these box apartments.
Meanwhile,
Sean, boutique, as I said earlier on, the vulture funds are evicting people. Now, why would you not even bring in a temporary freeze on evictions of that sort by vulture funds in order that we don't have more people going into homelessness?
Let's not play the opposition's game here. They love to talk about co-living. The fact of the matter is that Fianna Fáil didn't know this was happening for about a year and a half because they haven't been paying attention properly on the housing crisis. 20,000 new houses and apartments were built last year. That's our solution to the housing crisis.
What about co-living?
You're the cheerleader for co-living.
Let's hear
the minister.
Boutique style living.
It's an option if people want it.
It's like staying in a trendy hotel.
It's not for families. It's not for families.
Maybe the hotels he stays in.
It's not for homeless people.
But it is for developers, and it's an option that they will go for.
It's a cash cow.
Like flies to...
But 20,000 houses and apartments built last year, none of them for co-living, right? This is not a big part of the housing sector at all, and it never will be. It's just an option.
It's a very big site in the centre of Dunleary where
they've got nothing else to do it,
which we need for proper housing.
The real problem here is when Owen Murphy introduced his mandatory design guidelines for apartments, he didn't just introduce co-living, which I don't like. He also reduced the overall standards for build to rent so that you can have more studio apartments, you can have less dual aspect, you can have more apartments ratio to lift shaft, less parking space and less storage space. So in fact, the real problem in those mandatory guidelines, which many of us highlighted at the time, wasn't just co-living, because Owen is right, that's a very peripheral part of the housing system. It's that a lot of the stuff that's now built to rent, that large investment funds are coming in to do, isn't just costing people 2,000 to 3,000 euros a month, but the standards are significantly lower than those that were democratically agreed by local authorities to give people good quality apartment living for life. So in fact, what Owen Murphy's legacy is poor quality apartment living and nowhere close to enough social
We got rid of the mandatory need for car parking spaces because our focus is about sustainable development of housing over the next 20 years. People using public transport, people not having...
Public transport that you don't invest in.
Why would apartment block in the city centre need car parking spaces? Some perhaps, but not one per unit, which is what the law was.
But and I changed it. Your one-size-fits-all approach denies local authorities making sensible decisions.
As a result of that, and from removing the height caps across the country, we have seen a dramatic increase in apartment development, which every expert on housing says we need tens and thousands more apartments built, as well as homes. We can't just remain wedded to the three-bed semi-D in sprawling housing estates across the country. We need more apartments being built. The standards that I introduced mean that we can have more apartments built.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Minister Owen Murphy, thank you indeed for coming in. Minister Owen Murphy of Fine Gael, Owen O'Brien, Sinn Féin, spokesperson on housing, Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil, TD for Dublin, Fine Gael, and spokesperson on housing. And my thanks as well to Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit. We'll take a short break.
Tweet at Today SOR.
The Mental Health Commission is tasked with promoting high standards and good practices in the delivery of services and to protect the interests of patients who are involuntarily admitted. A new report being published today by the organisation has shown that 14 of Ireland's inpatient mental health units have been consistently non-compliant with individual care planning practices over the past 3 years. With me now, the Chief Executive of the Commission, John Farrelly, who has also recently raised concerns about the worrying trends in the use of seclusion and restraint in mental health services. Thanks indeed, John, for coming in. Just tell me about the findings in this review you're launching today. It gives an overview of compliance with the regulatory requirements relating to individual care planning.
So everyone that goes into a mental health unit is entitled to have a care plan that sets out their goals and helps them recover. So that's set out in law. Of our 64 centres, actually there's been an increase of 59%. We're up to 59% in terms of the amount of centres. 38 centres are now fully compliant. But really, this is the nuts and bolts of mental health care. We've 14 centres that have been consistently non-compliant, which is really not acceptable when you think this is the nuts and bolts. And really, that's what the report is saying. And what we're saying to the HSE and have said to the HSE is that, look, we need to make sure that it's the same care, the same standard all over the country. If you live in Bantry, you're lucky enough, you'll walk into a centre where high levels of compassion, high levels of care planning, where you're an equal partner in care. If you walk into some of these centres that are mentioned, we can't give that evidence because the care plans aren't being done in the way that's required.
Yes, and I think you've said in the report, it's clear from the results that care planning is still commonly regarded by some service providers in Ireland as a bureaucratic tick box exercise and an administratively burdensome process.
Yeah, there is, you know, you get that in a sense of that. Now, I appreciate people's frustrations, but this is the idea of a document that you work with the patient and their family to set things out. People are busy, they're getting on with their job, and they feel that it is burdensome and a tick box. But I mean, what we're saying is it's not. It's the law. There's a reason for it. The patients want it and their family to service.
Yeah, but presumably, though, the reason that it is a tick box or a box ticking exercise is because you can have all the planning you like, but if you haven't got the resources to implement a plan, what's the point?
Well, I mean, you don't need resources to have a plan to say that, to find out what the patient wants, what the person wants, that they want to be listened to in a compassionate way, that they want to have a multidisciplinary approach in terms of when they're getting discharged. So it's not about resources. This actually isn't about resources. This is about culture and how we treat people and how we move out of an old Ireland into a modern Ireland.
Yeah, because I think you came into the role, John, promising to focus on the ongoing transformation of mental health services. What's your sense of how effective we are in this country at dealing with patients who have severe and enduring mental illness?
I think we lack, you know, we need to, we had a policy called a Vision for Change about 13 years ago. And that policy was launched. And in the middle of that policy, we had the recession and there was no investment. So really what we did was we closed down a large amount of institutions, but we haven't put in place the community services there for people. So with severe and enduring mental illness, we looked at the rehabilitation services. There should be units around the country. There should be houses in the community. There should be crisis housing. None of that was put in place. So now what you have is that there is nowhere for these people to go. In fact, you know, some of these people are ending up in prison purely because
we had a very heart-rending story actually this time last week from a woman whose brother is in precisely that setting.
Well, I can tell you now that some of the busiest mental health units in the country are in some of our prisons. And these are young men, predominantly young poor men, who, and I've been in them, young poor men who are falling through the cracks. And Sean, if I used to say one thing, and look, I'm not a person about blaming. There's a lot of good stuff going on in our system. We have a very safe system. We have a caring system. What I want to do is push it on into the quality and make sure the system expands out. So those young men, usually poor men from particular backgrounds, lower education levels, going into prison, can't be treated in prison. We don't have, now we're setting up the new Dundrum is going across a national forensic
centre.
So that's brilliant. That's
hospital.
Brilliant. But then at the same time, we need to look at our teams that are reaching out and diverting people. And even before prisons, in the courts, with the judges, getting the reports to the judges early so that people can be diverted. That our homeless services, for example, because when you have mental health issues, it's a terrible thing, but you really are at the bottom of the pecking order. I'll give you an example. I used to regulate nursing homes, older people. I used to regulate charities. I find there's more traction here and less understanding here of the severity of how some of our poorest and most dependent people are falling through the cracks.
But isn't it obvious that the reason for that is because the people you're talking about, they're not taken seriously. They don't have effective, well-spoken lobbyists acting on their behalf, as the charities, for instance, would, indeed the nursing homes.
Well, we have significant legal systems around them, and that's not cheap. You know, we have significant professionals working with them. In fairness to the doctors, you know, and the solicitors, everyone is pointing to the cracks. I mean, look, what we had was quite a good policy. We need a new policy now. And in fairness to this minister, he was trying to drive through a certain amount of change. But we need to get mental health up the kind up the pecking order, because it relates into anything. So if you look out there at homelessness, imagine if we had a system where a man who had a particular mental illness, we had an outreach system that diverted him into a service that wrapped around him. Imagine he mightn't be sleeping in a tent, and imagine he mightn't have ended up injured. What I'm saying is there's people falling through the cracks. We actually have a tradition of compassion and decency in Ireland. When I visited every mental health centre now, I've met all the doctors, most of the doctors and the nurses. And we have a hunger for compassion and decency. And what we need to do now is make sure that we have the strategy underneath that and deliver it.
It sounds like you believe this problem is soluble.
I absolutely believe it's solvable, because we have a history in this country of solving things. What if you look back, for example, to the famine, if you look back to institutionalisation, that was the poor people.
And yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, Wishy Fogarty, the late Kerry footballer, referee and commentator, talked about his first job was in the mental institution in Killarney, yeah. Something like 900 to 1,000 residents there.
Yeah. It is. And that
was in the 60s, early 60s.
Yeah, in the 60s. And what we did was we've closed down all those institutions, and rightly so, but we haven't built up the community services yet. And there is a stigma around mental illness. And, you know, people want to talk about mental health, but very few people want to talk about mental illness, and the people that aren't, you know, sexy and don't look great on social media.
Yeah, and what about the fact, though, that I think as of last November, there were approaching 900, was it, vacancies for mental health nurses? Yeah. Why is that? And, like, is the money there to provide them?
Well, can I talk about it, the idea of you attract people? There's a concept called magnetic hospitals. You attract people to hospitals and to healthcare when people feel they're going to join into something that makes a difference. And that's what makes our job so hard, because we don't want the service. We want to be fair to the services. I'll give you an example, Sligo. If you joined Sligo as a mental health nurse, you would be working in a building that's probably older than the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham. It's 130, 140 years old. You would not work in it. But we have a new building there. That takes years. A new building coming online next year. And what you'll find then is people will look at that. They'll have modern facilities in which to work, and you'll attract people. The same with the challenge in the forensic hospital. Moving from Dundrum over to a state-of-the-art facility, you will attract something. And there's patterns for that. You'll see that across Europe and across England. But unless you actually understand, particularly mental health nurses, they're the driver of the system. They're the profession in itself that really drive on mental health services.
Your role also includes regulating the use of specific treatments and interventions, including electroconvulsive therapy, ECT.
Yeah.
But new laws introduced at the start of 2016 curtailing its use did not result in fewer people receiving the treatment. Now, is that a matter of concern to you?
Well, I think a conversation on ECT is needed. We regulate ECT. We have strong rules around it. And it's one of the areas of highest compliance, actually. And I have to say, we do a lot of work in this area looking about. And what we find is that 81% of the programs were administered with consent, and 81% reported improvement. So it's very, very effective. The issue is where there isn't the consent. So if people are fully compos mentis and they know this program will help them, and there's lots of people out there, Sean, this is one of the things, actually, ECT is one of the things that's, I think, also being stigmatised. But there's lots of people out there who need this to stay well, and as they have the capability to decide. The trick is about where they're not deciding. And really, that's the discussion we need to have. I just want to add, doctors, and I've met most of them, act in the best interests of their patients. Society is changing now. It's saying best interest isn't good enough. It's about will and preferences. And so we're traversing now at the time. So, I mean, this is a conversation that needs to happen.
Okay, we leave it there for now. John Farrelly, Chief Executive of the Mental Health Commission. Thank you very much indeed for coming to studio.